I'm going to start recording, Deb, okay?
Oh,
people are
okay.
starting to come on board now.
Okay, all right then.
No, that doesn't mean you have to stop if you're okay with it being there.
Oh, yeah, so it's kind of like practicing I'm safe, you know, knowing that I am safe when I'm driving over a bridge that I may not like to drive over, but in that moment I truly am safe, and it's to accept that I'm safe even if it's in a situation I may not like, but I really am safe.
Exactly.
But it's not my, so it's like, I don't know if it's just a filter, so I'm just practicing, you know, I'm safe in a lot more moments that I haven't recognized in the past.
Beautiful. Okay. Thanks, Deb.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, everybody. Anybody else want to give their intention?
Hi, Debbie. This is Rita. I had already emailed you with my
intention.
I've got
it, Rita. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. If you want to say it out loud, you're certainly welcome to. If you don't, that's okay, too.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. So, anybody else want to just say hi or just be quiet until we get going?
Hi, Debbie. This is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Other than my big fat lip that you read about. Do you want to state your intention, Angela?
Just to welcome new beginnings.
Nice. Okay.
Always.
A what?
I said always.
Always. Ah, yes. Good.
And maybe even more just to let go of any expectations around those beginnings.
That's beautiful. Part of that is when we have expectations, we're missing anything else that might show up. Because we're looking in that only for those expectations. So we have, those are our blinders.
Well, and they can be limiting, too.
Very much so. I mean, it's good to state our intentions, and I want to say this for everybody tonight. It's important, actually, to state our intentions. And it's also important to be open to something totally different. Because there, I want to instill as part of my dynamic for tonight is the trust factor of we are part of something much greater than we can comprehend in our bodies, and trusting that we are taken care of. And so there's knowing that we state our intentions and then get out of the way for something even better. Is that it, Angela?
That's it. And okay. You added so much more wonderful stuff. So
good.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else? I'll just ramble a little bit until everybody comes on, because I did start the recording already. One of the things that I'm coming to realize is, well, at least what I've been experiencing, especially over the past week, is just really tapping into the past and the strength of the ancestors in a way that is like just being present to the strength of the ancestors without being attached to repeating their patterns. And actually even recognizing when their patterns are repeating in me, even without my awareness. So it's about calling myself to this waking up spot of recognizing, oh, that feels familiar. And then just letting it go. And also recognizing I'm part of this greater collective that has a whole lot of belief systems that I thought I didn't believe, but because I'm part of this greater collective, those belief systems still influence me. So it's about being okay with being part of it, not only being okay, but like stepping into it, being okay with being part of that greater collective and all of those belief systems, and then just watching how they play out in my own life and watching how I respond to them. So, and something else I just became aware of, and I'm gonna direct this to you, Deb, because of our previous conversation too. Well, to everybody actually. One of the things I recently became aware of is just to constantly remind ourselves of when we have that moment of heart palpitations or those fearful thoughts. It's not about denying them. It's about acknowledging them and saying, okay, I hear you, I feel you. Is this real right now? And then just breathing into that. And when we do that, 99.9% of the time, it's not going to be real right in that moment. And so that allows us just a little bit of breathing space, just a little bit of wiggle room for something different to show up. For us to connect in with our inner resources at a whole nother level. And I'm going to actually recommend to anybody that's on the call, there's a book that I've recently discovered that I love. She gives whole new information about emotions. It's Carla McLaren's book, The Language of Emotions. And it really gave me a new perspective of our emotions. For instance, fear. We say no fear, but fear is the precursor to our intuition. It's the emotion that shows up right before we're going to get an intuitive hit. And if we just listen to that, our guidance becomes clearer. Settle in a little bit. Everybody, if you don't mind, just, you know, breathe into that.
Debbie?
Sorry.
Hi, sweetheart. I'm posting a link for that book on the comments.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So everyone can see that.
Thank you. It really is excellent. I mean, well, you know, we've all known that fear is our existential driving force. At least those of us have been doing the studies, and yet to just get it that one little highlight of fear is to our intuition was like ding 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 ding. Oh, okay, that makes sense to me. I saw your name. I was wondering when I was going to hear from you.
Well, and hi. I'm here. This is the first time in a while I've dialed in, but I have listened, and I'm happy to be here, happy that you're doing this. And I read your post and about what you were going to work on physically. And up here in Chicago, the pollen and allergy stuff is going on, so... And to me, my head feels like I'm in an aquarium, but it's also, you know, clouding my vision and my hearing and my sense of smell. So it's kind of like five senses are affected by this. And it's new moon time. Let's work on this and move it on out.
Got it, my dear. And actually, as you're talking, the visual that comes to mind, I can see how it's clouding your senses, definitely. The image that comes to mind are the old-time glass, you know, like underwater bubble. It's like your head is in a glass underwater bubble. It looks like one of those old movies.
Like, or Diver Dan, when they used to wear the glass to go underwater. It was like glass and brass and everything. Yes.
That's what it looks like. It's like that's what you look like right now, my dear. It looks like you're surrounded by that.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's protecting me or protecting the rest of the world.
Oh, okay. So you might want to read that book.
Yeah, this is Susan from Kauai.
Hello, Susan.
And, so my Hawaiian name is basically seaweed. Like, flow and nourish the reef. And I always love to be in the water. And lately, I've been great on a when swimming, and only when swimming.
And so I'm barely hearing you. What's happening when you're swimming?
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, my Hawaiian name is basically seaweed for one who flows and nourishes the reef, and I got that attachment to the ocean. But lately, I've been way out of breath and having trouble swimming, when usually I could just swim forever. And I know as far as allergies, the volcanic gases from Big Island get up here, and they may be a factor. But also my left foot hurts when I get out of the water, so it seems like there's something going on between me and the ocean.
Yeah, there is, my dear. And actually, it's interesting, because as you were talking, I was feeling constriction in your alveoli, like, so it's like the alveoli feel like they're constricting. And I don't know what that means yet, but it feels like there is a protecting factor going on, and yet there's also, you know, the eternal grieving factor of the lungs.
No, I think that's true.
Go ahead. The grieving factor of the lungs is playing in as well, but there is some sort of, like, there's a misunderstanding at the cellular level with your alveoli, and they feel like they're constricting, like they're choked off.
Ah, okay.
Even twisted. Like, I can't see my fists, but my fists are, like closing in on each other.
Hmm.
So it's like, all of a sudden, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because it's definitely cellular. It's definitely having something to do with evolution and definitely having to do with protection, because I'm seeing, like, this amphibian kind of energy.
Okay, I've been thinking amphibian.
Huh?
I've been thinking for you about amphibian.
Well, I can't hear you again. You're doing what about amphibians?
I've been sensing a lot, something around amphibian lately.
Interesting.
Yeah, almost like I think I'm an amphibian.
That's what I was getting. So it feels like some sort of old antiquated dynamic going on at the cell level, at the soul level, of some sort of rejection of your life right here and now. And wanting to have a simpler life, where you can just be one with the water and with the land, and not so much humans.
Makes sense.
Thanks. You're welcome. And it feels like we want to work on that at the heart level and at the soul level, about integrating you at the cellular level to bring you back forward. To bring you back forward. I love how I say back forward, but that's the words that are coming. To bring you back forward to this time and place and now, and to not only an acceptance, but a realization and a kind of love of humanity from the perspective of what humanity is capable of in the divine portion, in the divine proportions, and instead of like the inhumanity that we believe is humanity. That makes sense. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's showing up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Deb.
Hey. Who's that?
It's Rhonda.
I thought so. Hello, Rhonda.
And it's so funny that everybody's talking about allergies because I have a sinus infection from the allergies in Tennessee. So I thought, oh, my gosh, I guess I dialed it on the right night, huh?
Yes, I believe you did.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Looking forward. I guess it looks like we're in full force with this session. I was kind of waiting, stalling and waiting for Teresa, but I knew she was going to be a few minutes late. But it looks like she's showing up later. So. Yeah, allergy seems to be a theme, and it feels like it's an environmental dynamic as well, and a whole rejection of life, whole rejection of life, life as we know it.
Hey, Debbie, this is Rita. I don't know if somebody is on the road driving, but there's a lot of really heavy background noise, and I can't barely hear you.
Okay, my dear. Yeah, I was hearing it, too. I was trying to see if I could identify where it was coming from. And you guys, I'm going to leave you unmuted unless you choose to become muted, unless I hear a lot of noise, and then I'll have to mute you so everybody else can hear. So thank you, Rita. I'm on the lookout for that. Okay, so I want to look really quick too. Go ahead.
Have we started yet?
And is that you?
That is me.
I think you are the one. Are you driving?
I'm not driving. I just jumped on.
Oh, okay.
I just jumped on too, Deb.
Okay, good. Because somebody, it's like I'm hearing like, it's like hard to hear. So welcome, you guys. And that's perfect timing. I've been chatting with everybody and kind of grabbing what the theme was starting out with. And I'm not going to recap it. We're just going to go with the flow and see what shows up.
Perfect.
Okay. So, welcome. So I think we're beginning. Well, actually, we've already begun, but welcome, you guys. So, do you want to state any kind of intentions, either of you?
They've already been stated.
Got it. You, Andy?
I don't think anything new.
Got it. Okay. So, what's funny, because as you said, I don't think anything new, money popped up. So, I don't know where money popped up, but it's there.
Because it's a big issue for a lot of people right now.
It's interesting because it's like Doreen, you didn't hear, but Doreen, a lot of people are having allergy issues. And one of the images that came up to mind for Doreen was she's like encased in like one of those old antiquated bubbles that you use for underwater. Like, I don't know Diver Dan, but Doreen knows Diver Dan, and so she talked about that. And so as I mentioned money, I immediately, my vision got blurry. I actually got nauseous. And my breathing got constricted. So I guess money's a big theme here today, too.
We need to release that so you can breathe.
Yeah, thank you. It really is affecting the senses. It's affecting the breathing. It's showing up a lot like allergies. So, yeah, I'm working on unraveling that now. And another image that's coming to mind is now it's like instead of Doreen's bubble, my head's wrapped in mummy wrapping. I'm unwrapping myself.
Money as a restriction, both if you have plenty or whether you don't have enough. Because
exactly.
Even if you have quote-unquote plenty, you always want more.
Exactly.
At least there's there's never enough.
Well, it's not so much that the money is the restriction, it's the belief systems around the money.
Oh, absolutely.
Because actually when there's a lot of money, a lot of good can be done. But it's the belief systems around the money that are creating the restriction, the belief systems that say either I don't deserve to have enough,
or have as much as I want, or the belief system that says money equals power, which equals pain, which equals abuse. So
right,
there's a conflict that gets created around the belief systems with money that keep people from being at ease with it.
Yeah, and what it's showing up as is, I can't breathe. So it's like showing up as fear, there's not enough. So it's actually even being equated with the elements and the air around us.
Mm-hmm. And
there's not enough, so I'm being choked off. So there's this consciousness of being choked off from life. There's not enough, there's not enough, there's not enough. It's almost like this reiterating formula of not enough, not enough, afraid, 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 not enough, not enough, not enough. Oof.
So we're wanting to bring in and balance out the element of water, because water element helps to address fears and help to be able to come into a greater state of flow with life and flow with the process and flow with money, and allows for a releasing of the fear around that and allow to be in greater flow. So therefore there does not have to be the restriction or the suffocation that comes from the fear around it.
Okay, so it feels like there's something more around that, because it's still very prominent.
I keep getting money as oxygen. So that like, you know, where the belief system is, we equate money to oxygen. Without oxygen, we can't live. Without money, we can't live. And it's obviously a faulty belief system, but it's, you know, they're being equated in this belief system.
Yes,
that's absolutely true.
Money is a life force in many ways of the external world. Oxygen is a life force, or at least, you know, carries the life force in our human bodies.
Well, because life can't exist without breath. Life can exist without water. Life can exist without food. Life can't exist without the breath.
Perfect breath, perfect health, perfect belief system around money. It's sort of trying to bring those three into equilibrium for this particular link.
Yeah, and it's also, there's a tail, there's a hook and a link into that around, it's almost like it's around purpose. It's around the soul, so it feels a bit like I can't breathe. So if I can't breathe, if I don't have enough, I can't do what it is I need to do. And so it's almost like this intense energy of, whew, if I'm condemned somehow, or I'm being punished somehow. I can't do what I need to do, and if I can't do what I need to do, then it's really intense.
Well, and
it's like that dynamic heaven and hell, and it's like oh my God.
Well, and there's the piece, too, I mean, that you're bringing the piece in about soul purpose and liver. That's the wood element between maximum contraction and maximum expansion and finding the balance of that. But the other piece that happens is there's the fear is I can't make money fulfilling my soul's purpose. So that means I have to compromise myself. And when I compromise myself, then I feel like I'm suffocating and I'm dying and I'm merely existing until there's nothing left to live for.
Yeah, that's one of them. There's so many threads to this. It's like there are all these belief systems that are all tied up in knots.
The network.
There's 15 of them.
What was that?
I got 15 threads.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's part of like the matrix that we're having to unplug from.
Yes, because it's linked to money. It's linked to survival versus thrival dynamic. It's linked to purpose. It's linked to actually the air we breathe. Life force. It's linked to our life force. It's like this sense of feeling unplugged somewhere.
Okay. So the dynamic of right now, what I'm seeing is working with our ancestral roots to disconnect those 50 threads and that dynamic around, oof, it's really, really intense, and I can't live my life's purpose, so what's the point? And I'm choking in all of that. But it's also, again, linked into the whole ancestral thing, and we've disconnected from our roots. It's like we either connect to our roots through that dynamic of we feel like we have to repeat the patterns, or we want to sever them. And it's those dynamics of this or that instead of I can stay plugged in and I can learn and unlearn and I can do it differently.
Yeah, because where it's been wrapped around the heart, it's like doing it differently means allowing for there to be to develop a love relationship with the flow of money as opposed to a love-hate relationship.
Yes.
Like romancing the perceived shadow.
Say that again?
Like romancing the perceived shadow to find the goal, to find the benefit, to find the value.
And shining the light there. It's like we have all these things in the shadows, and it's kind of like what's showing up as the image of a child that's afraid of the dark because it sees monsters. And when you turn on the light, it's their shirt hanging on the lamp or something like that. So it's kind of that those perceptions, those filters, we need to cleanse our filters of our mind. And this, we're in Gemini time now, which is strong mind. But we want to open up and cleanse the filters of our mind as all those levels, subconscious, subconscious, all those layers, so that we can actually come to this place of clarity and shine the light on what we think is scary. Shine the light on what we think is stopping us from taking our steps forward.
And you said the appropriate word, Debbie. It's this, what we think.
Exactly.
Is. It's not what actually is. It's what we think it is, because the mind creates that. The mind supports the old beliefs, the old filters. Has been, let's clarify that, it has been supporting the old beliefs and filters, which create a confusion so that the truth isn't being revealed, and so it's what we think as opposed to what we really know.
Exactly.
Well, everything is what we believe it to be, so in many ways you have to be open to the possibility of things being perceived or believed in a different way.
Yes.
Until you can consider the possibility, it's never ever going to happen. And then just get out of the way.
Well, it may happen, but you won't notice it, so it may as well not happen.
Which is why it's so valuable, because sometimes we can only observe what we observe. And that's why it's so valuable to be in a place where another can observe with you and for you to create a different observation to help build a different possibility for a new belief.
Uh-huh. And actually, it's interesting. I'm just now looking, and I see that Cress Spicer has been trying to get on the line and hasn't been able to. Cress, are you there yet? Interesting. So, I guess not.
She can hear us, but she can't figure out how to talk.
She can't speak. Oh.
Because she's using her computer.
Oh, okay. That's fascinating. Sorry, Cress. So send me a message if you want to say something. And I wanted to double check because I actually made a post today of a quote of Neville Goddard. And I want to share it with everybody, because it's change your thoughts and you will change the behavior of those who surround you, for they are nothing more than yourself made visible. So it's really talking about changing our thoughts, and we change ourselves as well as our environment. Hey, who's that?
Somebody's playing the drum.
Huh?
Somebody's playing a drum.
That's interesting. Okay. So, wow. And it just started pouring here, so I feel like that's just kind of coming into just opening up the element of water. Let's cleanse. Okay. Going to the heart right now. Sending you love, Chris. Sorry. All right. So, there's an interesting dynamic of interaction, connection that's showing up as well. It's like, how connected are we feeling within ourselves? And what I'm seeing is what I talked about with the whole inner resources and all the different intelligences, and I see them coming together, actually, within each of our bodies. And within the body of this group. An ebb and flow, almost like I see free breathing, actually. It's like it had the image of a jellyfish, almost, taking in the water and letting it go, taking in the water and letting it go. Teresa. What's going on with you?
There was some noise in the background, so I had unmuted myself. Sorry.
It's okay. There's something you need to say about this.
Yes, I know. There's I was just having a lot of different information coming in. So there's this piece of the body that you're talking about, and that's the piece that's really coming up right now, is it's almost like in this aspect of working with money, there has been a process of feeling like there's had to be a denial of body, and the body's need for pleasure, the body's need for joy, the body's need for living through the senses, and so in the striving to create a sense of building a life, so to speak, it's like there's been a denial of the body, and instead just a place of working really hard, or thinking if I just move into the spiritual realm, I'll open up my ability to be able to bring in what needs to happen. But when we deny the body, we also deny the opportunity to live in the material world in a way that nourishes us and nurtures us and feeds us and allows us to fully thrive. And the peace of the body is essential to allow for full living, because it's through the body that we allow the organs to really manifest the way they need to within ourselves. And each part of the, you know, each organ, as we all know, has its own functional thinking. Each organ has its own consciousness to support us in living the life that we want. And when we deny the body its right to feel, its right to live, its right to have a conscious paradigm in the world, we deny the aspects of the body to be able to support us in the type of dharmic living that we're really desiring. And hence the talk about body, mind, spirit actually becomes split. And it ends up being mind, spirit, mind, spirit, spirit, mind, spirit, mind, and the body gets left out.
Very much so, very much so.
And so we're bringing in the whole consciousness of full living through the body, that embodied living that allows for a space of recognizing that the body does house the soul, the body does house the mind, the body does house the spirit. And in order to really be who we are, to be who we really want to be, we've got to really allow for the connection to the body to be fully present. Because a lot of the wisdom that we're looking for is through the body. It's in the body. It's in that place of allowing ourselves to sense in a different way. Because memory is formed through the senses as well as through emotion. And when we deny the body, we deny the senses to be experienced in a different way. And so it's like when we connect with the body, we allow for an unveiling of the senses so that we see in a different way, that we hear in a different way, that we taste in a different way, that we smell in a different way, and that we can feel touch in a different way, in a way that allows us to really be connected at the deeper level and connect in with oneness of the universe in a fuller way.
Nice, very well put. It's not about denying the senses, it's about uncovering them, removing those veils that keep us blurry, unable to communicate and to be in the world. Andy, what's going on with you right now?
There is so much fear in the world right now that a lot of us who are sensitive to these things is picking up on, and we have to be able to discern what is more of a systemic fear versus our own. I've been feeling a lot the last month. Now, I've had my own reasons for having, you know, my own fear, so to speak, but I've had to, like, check in with people just to say, okay, I'm feeling all this fear. How much of it's mine? How much of it is other stuff? Because I don't feel like it's all mine, but it could be all mine. So, you know, detaching from that other fear as much as possible, or at least becoming aware that it's there. So it's like having a TV on in the room that's really loud, and for whatever reason you can't turn it off, but you still have to be able to have a conversation with someone, but it's kind of blaring in the background. So you have to be able to sort of block it out as best you can until you can find the button to turn it off.
Ah, so that's a very good point. So we want to unveil the senses, but we don't want to leave them naked and raw.
Yeah, there's a difference.
So what there's we want to do difference. Is help with the senses, help to pull away the sticky, limiting defenses, and yet, like I said, not leave everybody raw. So it's like, it feels like it needs to be appropriate for each individual, and as well as the collective. So it's like helping each of us come to this place of, in our own environments, come into more harmony with our environments through our senses, recognizing that is how we interact in this world, through our senses. And having almost like this dial where we can adjust the focus, adjust the volume. And that's what you, I think you were talking about, Andy, when you said, oh, is this my fear? So if it's my fear, so if it's like at 500 and you're going, whoa, that's a lot, that's a little bit too much for me, maybe I can turn it back some so I can get a clearer perspective of how much of this is real, how much of it is current, and how much of it is mine.
Mm-hmm. Because that is a key piece, this whole piece, is it mine or not? A lot of when we move into that fear, we're feeling the collective fear and not our own so much. And that's why we have to differentiate that. And that's why living through the body and really connecting with the body can create that sense of, is this mine or not?
Whose was that?
That was pretty intense.
That's interesting, because I actually had this image, too, of, like, all of these allergies going around and, like, people allergic to the tree. So it almost feels like if you feel inclined, well, maybe this isn't wise information. I don't know. I just saw people hug a tree, you know, get close to it. So there,
it's kind of like the, you know, hugging. I think that's perfect, and a perfect image, because hugging a tree is like embracing the shadow, the thing that you fear the most.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, you know what? Hey, you're kind of beautiful. I don't feel like we have to compete for roots. Oh, that's it, too. I don't feel like we have to compete for roots. If I have roots, it doesn't mean you don't have roots. So it's about
beautiful.
Being able to be rooted where we are without being root-bound and without being combative over who gets roots and who doesn't.
That's a beautiful way of putting it.
Thank the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important, actually. And I really do feel like as part of this session today, that dial for the filters, for the senses, is really important. To allow each of us to fine-tune our experiences moment by moment so we can get clearer and clearer on how much of this is real for me right here, right now. And the past only matters in so much as it only matters until it doesn't. In other words, it matters as long as it's running the future. So if we can get clearer, if we can clarify this, our senses with that, then we can take in a full breath and let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recognizing what's our stuff, what's not our stuff. And if it's our stuff and it's no longer serving us, then how do we learn to let go of our attachment to that? And it's usually an emotion, like fear or anger, that is what kind of attaches us to it. When you can release that, then you can still perceive that stuff, but it's not able to pull you out of your routine or pull you out of your groove as easily.
Well, kind of that, and dancing into it, too, Andy, dancing into it.
Yeah, I mean, instead of running away from it, opening your eyes wider sometimes and saying, okay, what's this? And then, you know, a lot of times it's just fear itself, so that's not anything to worry about, but it's often what makes us the most scared. But there may be things that actions we have to take, and that fear is driving us to take those actions, or anger that we're feeling is often taking action. So,
yeah, it's about stepping into that. What comes to mind is the image of an animal. When an animal is confronted with danger, and it comes like right out of it, often you'll just see them. They just shake it off, and that's them shaking their nervous system free. Whereas we tend to grip and not want to express it, so we create all of these knots around, not as in K-N-O-T and N-O-T, around how we're supposed to be.
Well, let's create a button that we can push to shake, to do the animal shake.
I love it. Everybody,
mm-hmm. pushing it right now.
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
Push.
Push. Good. If you really did that, you'll feel how good that feels.
It's because it's Kundalini.
Exactly. Which gets stuck when we aren't connected internally to all of our resources and connected in the flow. And the problem is, that's why we're having all these weird symptoms in our bodies, because the problem with when we stop the flow, because we can do that unconsciously, when we stop the flow of Kundalini, I mean, what happens is it doesn't stop for long. It shunts through whatever it is we're trying to stop, and then we get all these weird symptoms, all these aches and pains, or all these emotional distresses, and it's really about let's just shake it off and go, hey, wait a minute, that's not me right here, right now. That's an old memory, an old pattern, an old habit. It helped me then. It's not necessary now. Good. There's the drummer again. Who is that? I think it's this person. We'll see.
Boomch, 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 boomch.
Exactly. I'm going to see if it comes back. So anyway, we're going to the heart now. Although, as I said that, I feel like all of this sinus stuff with everybody is really intense. Showing right now, it's like something feels like it's trying to shunt through. I almost feel like I just got feverish. So, going to work with what?
Pericardium?
Okay, yep, that works. Because I was feeling it was the fire element, but it wasn't the heart, and I just suddenly got all blurry. It was like, okay, everything just shut down. It was almost like somebody or something tilted within our collective right now and went offline.
There was a disturbance in the force.
Yes. So, back to the heart. Like now I'm pounding my heart. Pericardium, heart. Consciousness of integration and expansion. And breath, actually, because it started as expansion, and then so it's maximum expansion, maximum contraction. So it's working with the elements, but working with the elements in the maximum expansion and maximum contraction, the full breath, the full range of motion.
You also talked about hooks earlier, and many times our hooks are in the pericardium. So.
I see a couple
found
now.
That.
Yep.
A lot of the deep belief systems that are societal or religious, familial, that they get in there because they if they're at your heart, then nothing can get to your heart until they pass through them. And if they can get to them, shift them, or not allow that information to get to the heart, then you never know the truth.
Yes. You're always guessing.
It's like you don't get that message.
Say, not able to know. So, yeah, and this is where we talk about, we're doing a lot of disentangling from a lot of these collective belief systems and many belief systems we need to be here in the body. The body is a collection of belief systems. But what we want to do is we want to actually bring it to this place of harmony within that awareness. Within its own environment, where does it fit?
but not trying to force a fit. Just acknowledging where it is right now and harmonizing, and I see almost like this swaying motion of, it's like a spiraling motion. So a spiraling motion is coming in.
It's untwisting the fascia.
Yes, it's definitely an unwinding. And this is an interesting image because what I'm seeing right now is the metaphor that I'm seeing is actually dolphins entangled in a net.
A what? Dolphin?
Dolphins entangled in a net, like a collection of dolphins entangled in a net, and it's like it's like there's a lot of fear and a lot of sadness because it's showing this energy of we've forgotten how to play. We've forgotten how to play.
That's part of the piece of the body, really allowing for the body to be fully involved because we have to engage the body to play.
Absolutely.
We have to engage the senses to play.
We want to tap into that from the matrix energetics perspective of, and I think you're giving me that image because we're going to tap into frequency 16, which is dolphins and whales, but it's about helping to reconnect us to that source of playfulness, of joyfulness, of tranquility while being playful and joyful, and just that sense of knowing, actually, which is the whale energy, tapping into, there's just a knowing at the deepest level of that being. And so we want to connect with that at the deepest level of our own being, that knowing within the heart. And that knowing within the heart is not a heavy knowing. It's not, it's like we attach being to, too heavy. It's like too heavy. We want to be in the body, but be in the body physically, tangibly, but lightly. I like that. I just saw light coming in. Lightly, so physically, but tangibly, solidly, lightly, playfully, silly almost.
It's activating our photons.
Yes, that's beautiful. And I do, I see that like this whirling vortex coming down and kind of enveloping each person and just kind of sucking up through the midline of that vortex all the heavy sediment that's keeping us from being that connected, resourceful light being that we are in our physical, tangible bodies. Nice. I can suddenly breathe better, thank you.
Breathing is good.
Huh?
Breathing is good.
Yes, breathing is very good. And breathing fully is very, very good. So I feel the endorphins kind of kicking in and coming up through the bloodstream for everybody. And yet we're having to kind of integrate that with the roots because the endorphins coming up can actually, there's almost a sense of, whew, giddy, dizzy. But no, we need to be giddy, dizzy with roots. Crest just sent a message, says, feels good, I'm yawning away. So I guess that means she shook. I feel much lighter. How about you guys?
Mm-hmm. Much lighter.
anything else needs to be connected?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't either. I think that was Chris saying, feels good, I'm yawning away, was like, yeah, that's confirmation. But see, Chris, you were a part of it. Nice. So, everybody, the one thing I would say is just call forward that dial, whatever it looks like for you, whether it looks like a knob, whether it looks like a digital imagery, whatever it is that you can use, use it with your senses. When you feel yourself getting stuck in that place of overwhelm, or when you can't breathe, use that dial and dial it down enough to where you can go, okay, all right, so I can now clearly see that maybe 20% of this is reality right now, or maybe none of it is reality right now, and an old memory or habit is surfacing. Or I'm just feeling the tornado that happened over in Oklahoma, and it has nothing to do with me right here, right now. I'm just feeling their pain. Make sense?
And it's okay to feel it if it's serving you. If it's not serving you, then change the channel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't burden yourself with it, but if you're feeling it, feel it. And then acknowledge it and acknowledge where it's coming from.
Acknowledge it, but don't hold on to it.
Exactly. It's okay to send it back to where it came from, because we each need to actualize our own life experience. That's why we're here. We are each here to live our own life experience. And then share that with one another. Nice. Okay. Anybody else want to add anything?
It's basically downloading the knowing plugin is what keeps coming in. So
nice.
Whatever knowing is for you. At that moment.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, the thing is, when you know something to be true, there's no need to argue it. There's no need to defend it. You can state it clearly, and then see if anyone or anything around you is in agreement. If they're not, you're still okay, because you know it.
Yeah. It's in many ways it's irrelevant if anybody else knows it at that moment.
Exactly.
If it's important, then everyone will know it at some point.
Okay.
But if you start yelling, "I know it, I know it," then they're going to think you're crazy.
Exactly.
If it's not something normal, and
that gets challenging. Sharing appropriately, meeting people where they are rather than where you want them to be.
Yeah, or where you think they should be.
Exactly.
Well, time to jump off.
It is. So before I jump, I'm going to shake
it. It's a beautiful sunny day here, so and those don't happen a couple months out of the year, so I have to go enjoy it.
Oh, go enjoy it. It's raining here. Thanks, Andy.
I'll talk to you next month. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody that participated, and have a good evening.
You too, Doreen. Thank you. Oh. Thank you for supporting Chris.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Debbie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You're welcome. You too.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.